Welcome to the Interviews Podcast.
Welcome, Interisti, to episode 123 of the Interviews Podcast. We are here, actually, we're the official podcast of SempreInter.com. We're here for the post-match reaction of Inter Monaco at the San Siro, which finishes 3-0 to the hosts. Goals from Lautaro Martinez via a penalty in the fourth minute, another goal in the 16th, and another one in the 67th minute, a hat trick for Lautaro, who now becomes our all-time leading goal scorer in the Champions League. There was a red card for Mawisa in the 12th minute as well. So Monaco played with 10 men for a good portion of the match. And we are in, directly qualified to the round of 16, finishing in the top eight. I think we actually ended up finishing, fourth. Yeah, so we finished fourth, which was a huge, huge bonus for the team. From a fixture list perspective, not having an additional two games added to the schedule. From a monetary perspective, Marotta before the game mentioned that this win would be worth 20 to 25 million in the coffers. So you know Captain Ralph at Oaktree is pretty happy. And also a win from the perspective that Barella and Dumfries both avoided cards. So they are available to play in the next round. As always, I'm one half of your co-hosting duo, Alessandro Raffa. I'm very excited, very happy for the debut of the man that heads Interviews' TikTok, Nico Bocuzzi. This is about the best episode you could have joined for your debut on the Interviews podcast. How you doing, brother?
Doing fantastic. Got to be honest, thank you for reaching out this morning. Made my day. Was looking forward to this game. And this was really the icing on the cake for me. So I'm excited to be on this episode.
Yeah, we're going to have fun. Johnny is not here. He is on a business trip, but we'll hear from him soon. And yeah, let's get into it. I think a good place to start would be just to talk about the approach to this game. Coming into it the day before, and Nico, doing the TikToks pre-match, like you're always checking out the probable lineup. So I'm sure you came across this too, but this week coming into this game, it was expected that we were going to see some pretty heavy rotation, some folks for it, some folks not for it. Today it comes out that there's no rotation happening. We're going to go and approach this match with our titolari, as they say in Italy. Obviously, it turned out to be the right approach, but what was your reaction when you first saw that we'd be attacking this match with all of our starters ahead of a very important derby coming this weekend?
Yeah, I think the 3 points were crucial. I know we talked about only needing one to qualify, but clearly we were going for all three. And I actually looked at the lineup going into it a few days ago, and Taremi was actually supposed to be there instead of Thuram. I don't think he was even on the bench. He was injured completely for this one. He picked up a little knock, but my goodness, I can't say enough about Thuram. I'm actually glad the starters were out there. I know February is going to be a very grueling month for Inter, but you could tell Inzaghi really wanted to get a result from this one, so he's putting out his strongest 11. I was a little bit surprised. I'm really happy that Barella's okay, especially after that knee collision he had against Lecce. So I figured he was going to be okay once he walked off the field. But yeah, Inzaghi was not holding back. We've been fantastic with the exception of that result versus Leverkusen. We've only conceded one goal in the Champions League. So, he was looking at, hey, we don't want to play any additional fixtures in the playoff round. Let's get these guys some rest because we know February is going to be busy again.
Yeah, and honestly, it matched the importance of this game. I think we could have gotten a result with a rotated side, but the reality is like I mentioned earlier, there's a fixture list perspective to securing that top eight spot, but also from a monetary perspective, I mean, it's a big win, and I know that as fans, we care most about what happens on the pitch. But you have to imagine that Marotta and team and Catherine Ralph at Oaktree were really looking at this thing like, hey, this is a big opportunity to get some significant revenue for the season. And, you know, that's how we approached the match. Came out like a bat out of hell against a team that Monaco is known for their high press. They're known for playing pretty quickly. But Inter went after them from the very first minute. Regarding the performance here, another conversation that's been happening a lot on Inter Twitter, performances versus results. Where would you rank this performance as far as the ones that we've seen from Inter this season?
Well, it's by far our best performance in the Champions League. It's got to be up there top three overall this season. I know it's always controversial take on Twitter as far as results versus performance, but make no mistake about it, there are plenty of people that would love to switch sides with the teams they're supporting, and they would love to be a part of our fan base, because regardless of what you think and what we've done this season, I mean, we've only lost one game in the league, and if you told me we're what, a game in hand now, 3 points behind Napoli, come on. I mean, you can't say all the results were bad. You're playing every 3 days, so it's natural that form is going to take a dip. Players are going to get tired. We have to make rotations. But yeah, this game today, my goodness, what a start in the first 10 minutes. And especially since we've had all these narrow victories, what we've had several 1-0 victories in the Champions League. Yes, we've only conceded once, but I think we only had 7 or 8 goals coming into this match day. So that was fantastic to see. Yeah, it's definitely up there as a top three performance overall this season.
Yeah, and I think that it was important to go ahead and just get after Monaco right from the first minute, which we did. Thuram absolutely was wreaking havoc on that back line. They could not handle him. And Lautaro steps up in the sixth minute or the fourth minute. Hold on here.
Can't remember. I know it was early on though, for sure.
Yeah, he steps up within the first 10 minutes to take that penalty. When you saw Lautaro step up for it, which has definitely been a worrisome moment for Interisti, where were you at as far as your heart and your stomach here?
I'm not even going to lie. I was cracking up. I said, no way, Lautaro stepping up. I was like, oh my goodness. And especially when he took a deep breath, I said, oh my God, this guy's gonna miss. Now, luckily he had enough pace on it because the keeper got a little piece of it, but I think Inzaghi was thinking, maybe going into this match, he said, hey, listen, if we get a penalty awarded, you've been in hot form right now. And we want Lautaro to be able to step up and take PKs. I know that's not, you know, that's an area where he has struggled with, but I was just excited he buried it. And then you could just tell, man, his just form. It's just from here on out, I feel really good about what we're going to get from him from a productivity standpoint.
And Nazario on one of the halftime spaces, he had mentioned that it was actually a better penalty than what people were giving credit for, because typically the goalie is diving to one of the sides. So he just lashed it low and down the middle. And the only reason it looked as nervous as it did is because the Monaco keeper didn't really dive all the way, right? He picked his side to the right, but he didn't actually make an attempt for it. That is now 8 goals for Lautaro in the month of January, which is, it's just absurd. I don't think we have to have any conversations about is he back or not. I think what we can talk about is sort of season MVPs. When you think about everything that Thuram has done this season, everything that De Vrij has done, Barella, you know, DiMarco, Dumfries, and so forth, there's a lot of contenders for potential MVP of the season. But in a month of January, that's been super, super packed from a fixture perspective. I think it might be the most packed that we've had this season. Our captain is well and truly stepped up here. Do you anticipate that Lautaro, with a hot end of the season, could end up being the MVP for this team?
Well, I'll tell you, if he keeps this up, he's going to make a strong case for it. I actually posted something on Twitter a few weeks ago, because even though Lautaro was a leading goal scorer last season, If I'm not mistaken, he only scored one goal after the month of February. So really, that carried over into the first half of this season. The thing is as Interisti, we'll forget about the first half. We don't care what happened, because right now, at this pivotal stage of the season, you know, he's catching fire now. And if this continues onward, he's making a strong case for himself. Listen, we know what Lautaro brings to the table when he's not scoring. He's still going to put in a work rate, you know, even off the ball. Obviously, as a striker, his job is to put the ball in the back of the net. But I'm just so happy for him right now. And let's see what happens when it's all said and done.
And honestly, he could have had even more today. There were a couple chances in the second half that he could have done better with and put away. But the fact of the matter is, two goals in the first half. Obviously, Monaco goes down to 10 men, and you need to take advantage of that. He was able to put away his chance in the first half to go into the break up to nothing, and then of course put the game to bed in the second half. So he's obviously your MVP, your man of the match. But Marcus Thuram also had himself, you know, a hell of a game. He won the penalty. He won the red card, if you can call it that, and was just absolutely causing trouble for that back line. Marcus Thuram hasn't been scoring a ton since his hot start to the season, but how do you feel after a performance like this, where you feel like the two of them are getting back on track as far as a duo?
Well, I definitely wish we had Marcus Thuram in that Champions League final against Man City. I mean, this guy is just deadly. Even when he's not scoring, he does such a good job of like drawing defenders. They bite at his feet. He's able to, you know, award us penalties. And then how about not that much longer after the Lautaro penalty, he's one-on-one with a defender from Monaco, muscles past him, and then the defender had no choice but to foul him and then got the red card. He is just, you know, and I was so confident when we signed him. Like, I know you got to take highlights with a grain of salt, but my goodness, I was like, I feel like he can cook with Inzaghi for sure when he was signed on. Like, I was so excited about this player. We needed this type of player, like, to take people one-on-one. And yeah, their partnership is just, it's fantastic. And Inter's just hitting on all cylinders right now.
Yeah, it feels like it feels like when the going gets tough, we bear down and we hunker down. And obviously, the result today is important, not only because of the qualification into the Champions League and everything that we spoke about, but also we have the derby coming up this weekend. How much do you think a truly all-around performance like the one that we saw today, how much do you think that will carry over into the next match against the Milan side, who we've got two losses to this year, two of our three losses to?
Oh, I'm confident it's going to carry over. And you know, in that TikTok, that pre-match for this game, you know, I know it was a Lecce side, they're a weaker side, but it was in the manner that we won it. And all the Interisti, not all, but some were asking, where are these good results at? Yes, we're winning, but where are the performances at? And if that match versus Lecce didn't, you know, show you, and then it carried over into Monaco and now into the first game of February versus city rivals Milan, I'm feeling super good about this match. But mindful of the fact that they do have, you know, a two game winning streak on us earlier in league play and then the Supercoppa final. But I'm feeling very good about this. I think it's February 2nd, if I'm not mistaken. Sunday. It's Sunday, right? Sunday.
Yep. It's this Sunday. And for me, I know when things are like mathematically a certain way, I hate proclaiming anything as like must win, because obviously the season is so long. But I do think that we've played our way into a situation where, with Napoli as strong as they are right now in the Serie A, the only competition they have to worry about, and with two of our losses this season coming against this Milan side, it's a must win. So I do feel like these two games are linked in a way because of the stakes that are involved in both of them. Direct qualification into the Champions League round of 16, and also, you know, a derby in a close title race, the stakes couldn't be higher. And these players another reason that they should have been the ones to get the start, you know, not rotate, is that these players need to feel as good as they possibly can going into a match against Milan. And it's not just about like, oh, do I feel rested? It's also about, do I feel on form? And I think a lot of the players today can absolutely say that, you know, they're in form and aren't on form. So the next player that I want to talk about is someone who I thought it was their best individual performance this season. A player who I thought last year was amazing and a huge add to our team. This year, he's had trouble getting going. Obviously, he dealt with an injury. But Benji Pavard, 90 minutes. He had one opportunity that he definitely should have buried. And I know a lot of people are going to be pissed about that because he's got to get that goal under his belt here. But what did you make of Benji's game today? Did you also see as his best performance this year? And how important is it to recover him, despite Bissek playing so well, how important is it to recover Pavard for this this tough stretch we have coming up?
It's very important. I mean, because we know with the whole Acerbi situation, I don't know, you know, what his status is as far as when he's going to be back. And, you know, Pavard, I know he hasn't had the best season. Obviously, last season was fantastic. You know, he just came back from injury recently, so he's kind of integrating himself back into the lineup. I think it's going to be so crucial to have him a part of this Champions League run. There's no question about it. And don't get me wrong, Bissek has been fantastic. But you still got to have that veteran presence. And when we need to make rotations, it'll be interesting to see how Inzaghi goes, like who he's going to go with, you know, as far as that right center back role. But I feel really confident with him there. I've always been a fan of just kind of like his recovery speed. He plays very progressive in this system. So yeah, it was a very good performance. Certainly his best of the season, given all, you know, the injury worries we had, and now that he's back, I think I'm very confident for what he's going to bring for us the rest of the season.
Yeah. And you mentioned the progression. There were a couple times that, you know, when he got forward, his link up with Dumfries was spectacular. It was exactly what he needed to do, and he made all the right decisions. It felt like he came into it really fired up, and you love to see that. You do need to see that. Again, Acerbi, even if he's close to returning, you don't know if he's going to go down again, right? That's been the case with him, where we haven't gotten consistent minutes out of him since the start of the season. So if Pavard is recovered and it allows Bissek to slide in the middle to spell De Vrij from time to time, it's major. And this team's depth is going to be tested. It's been tested so far this season with Inzaghi doing a lot of rotating that ultimately looks like, at this point in time, I think you can say it's paid off. But you know, obviously we have to see how the rest of the season plays out. Is there a player that you want to talk about from a performance perspective that you think you may need to give a little bit of love here?
I honestly, Bastoni. And speaking of the, you know, the center backs, like that's the only player I, unless we had to, you know, shift to the middle. He, one area of his game that he has improved, we can all agree on this, is the defensive side. We knew what he could do going forward. He's also very progressive in this system, likes to get forward. And how about the ball to Barella today? It seems like they are always in sync, like the two of them. I was just literally watching a highlight before the game today, and it was almost literally identical. Like Bastoni is so good at timing those balls. And then just his ability to defend now too. I love this guy. And he's only what, 25. I mean, I hope he's with Inter for the rest of his career.
I think a lot of Interisti would share that sentiment. The conversation around Bastoni has been interesting. He's been dragged into a who's the better ball playing center back versus a 17-year-old Kubarsi, which I think just goes to show a lot of what you get from other fandoms on Twitter, unfortunately. But obviously, Bastoni is an immense player for Inter. Today, I think the most important thing was that he only had to play 59 minutes, which is a win in and of itself. Carlos Augusto comes on to take the rest of the game. So he gets to do his job, a little bit of rest heading into the derby on Sunday. Also on the left side of the pitch, Federico Di Marco, super active game for him. He got a full 90 minutes, which is not ideal considering his history of, being able to pull a full 90 minutes off. But today he gives us a full 90 minutes where he was up and down the pitch. This is a player who had a super hot start to the season, has slowed down somewhat. Recently, we haven't seen him get an assist since, let's see, January 15th against Bologna. But before that, there was a stretch of like five or six matches where he didn't get an assist, hasn't scored in quite a while, no assists in his last four. So I think, some folks are now focused on Dumfries and what he's doing. But today's performance was the kind of performance where it doesn't feel like he's out of form. It still feels like he's ready to contribute when it's time. What did you make of Dimash's display today?
Well, he would have had that assist to Dumfries. I'm not even sure what happened when Dumfries received that ball, but
I think
it just got underneath
up.
Him. Yeah. He had a Dumfries moment, but no, honestly, Dumfries has been fantastic so far. But yeah, Di Marco is he's such a key contributor to this team. The way and also I've noticed he plays more minutes now. Like, remember he would always come and sub off around the 60th, 70th minute. You just knew Inzaghi was ready to, sub him out. But he's just such a key contributor to this team. The way he can whip those balls in, the link-up play up top. He's another player. When you're talking about, like, the Italians back there, like Bastoni and Di Marco, like, it's such a great fit for Inter because of that chemistry and just the way they build up in the play. I just love watching it.
So he got 90 minutes today. Obviously, Augusto has played a good chunk recently and also got 30 minutes today. Is this even a question whether or not he'll start in the derby on Sunday?
He starts, and I'm interested to see what the lineup looks like, but I mean, these guys are going to get 3 days off. So they're not traveling. So that'll help. I see another strong lineup and definitely Di Marco. I'm sure Carlos Augusto will get some minutes, but yeah, Di Marco is definitely starting in this one.
Yeah. His flank mate, Denzel Dumfries, on the other end of the pitch. It's incredible what he's done. He has started 8 consecutive matches, every single game this month of January, he started, completed, I think 4 of them, completed them for 90. Today, he gets 75 minutes. He came into the game diffidati, which is essentially he's up for suspension for the next game in the Champions League. If he was carded, was able to avoid the yellow card. Also, absolutely should have had a goal if he didn't trip up. And an assist if Lautaro was able to get on the end of a beautiful cross from him. So for me, that's there's no problem there. The form is continuing. What did you think of Denzelone today continuing his hot form?
Did Johnny on several podcasts ago, he said something like, we'll never figure this guy out. I've always said about Dumfries, like, we know from a technical standpoint, he lacks there, but he's an aggressive player. He gives you 90 minutes on the pitch. His ability to just kind of run up and down that flank, his work rate. I wish sometimes he could deliver something better in the box. And then sometimes, like earlier today, like that cross from Di Marco, maybe he was just kind of caught off guard or surprised that it, got across the face of the goal. But man, the month of January for Dumfries, this is incredible to think that we'd be saying right now, this is the best right wing back in the Serie A. And I don't know what top 3, top 5 in Europe at the moment. I don't think we'd ever be thinking about saying that, but I think somewhere down the road, we're going to come back and, whoever did criticize Dumfries at times, maybe it was warranted. We'll maybe come back and be like, you know what? And I have too. I certainly have. But I think we'll come back and be like, we'll be grateful that we had a player like that because, he is a professional at the end of the day. Like, we've never had any issues with him. Like, when he's available to start, you know you're going to get, you know, a work rate from him. He has also a good aerial ability too, you know, in the box. But yeah, I think he's just having a fantastic season. It's kind of almost reminding me of the first season under Inzaghi. He really started well. And we need this. I mean, I'm all for any player that we've been critical of, and now they're coming through. Like, this is a pivotal time of the season, and he's definitely injecting some life into this team.
I think he's on his best form of his career, which is again, really encouraging. We've seen poor play from him in the past, but he seems to have entered into this next chapter of his career where maybe he's just a little bit more mature, and it's allowed him to be more consistent on the pitch. But either way, with every passing game, that renewal has looked better and better. It's looked more and more like a bargain, which I don't think enough people are talking about. I'm really happy that he's been able to turn his career around. It's interesting having these discussions about the players today, because pretty much everyone had a really good game. And one player that's been really maligned, but outside of some moments in the first half with his passing, some iffy body language in his own box in the first half, but really settled down in the second half. I think, honestly, he put out one of his better performances today in an Inter shirt. I don't think his quality as far as his Inter career should be, like, we should open this box up after every performance that he has. That's like, oh, okay, that was pretty good. I think we already know whether or not he should be part of this team today, but you have to give credit where credit is due. Aslani really settled down and gave us an important 90 minutes today. Hakan, unsure if he's even going to make the bench for the derby, although it is expected that he will. I expect this 90 minutes is also huge because, and Zielinski didn't play today, also because Inzaghi would like to have Zielinski at Regista against Milan in the derby. But thoughts on Aslani today?
I think too many people are expecting something like incredibly flashy from this guy. I think it's just making the easy decisions today, which for the most part he did. You know, I think for Aslani, it's just finding that balance in front of the center backs. You know, sometimes he's making just poor decisions with the ball. I think it was in the last Champions League game or the one prior to Sparta where he was just carelessly giving the ball away in dangerous areas of the pitch, where it almost led to goal scoring opportunities. And I think that's just the area of his game he needs to improve on. But I thought overall today, no matter what, people are probably going to, you know, nitpick something that he did wrong today, but I thought he was much more calmer on the ball, and that's all we can ask for him. I'm not expecting anything flashy. Look, it's a drop off from Çalhanoğlu. Let's be honest. We don't have a backup to Çalhanoğlu like that. You're asking too much to have a backup that's going to be on the level like that. So if Aslani can come in, give us good minutes, be calm on the ball, just make the simple passes, we'll be fine, especially when you're playing alongside someone like Nicolò Barella, who should, if anything, make you feel more comfortable, you know, in that role. So, but yeah, I thought he overall was solid. What about yourself? What did you think?
I think that was really well said. I think the second half was maybe the best 45 that he's played for Inter. Granted, it's against the Monaco side that's down to 10 men. Inter are fully in control, and he didn't have to do much, right? Like, he just had to control the tempo of the game and keep Inter ahead. But whether or not you think it was a huge challenge, that he was up against a huge challenge tonight, the fact of the matter is that he did what he needed to do, and you can't beat down the player for doing that. Yeah, I'm happy for him, and I'm proud of him. And obviously, the better that he does for Inter, even for the crowd that wants him gone, which I'm a part of, 100%. I want a different option, especially if we can bring in a guy like Ricci. I think he's got a higher ceiling than Aslani. And I think as Hakan gets older, we should have real conversations about that succession plan and what that looks like. I don't think Aslani has the highest ceiling, but I'm not going to be upset about him performing well for Inter, because it's going to help keep his value at a level that's ultimately going to benefit Inter in the long term if they decide to move on, or for some folks, when they decide to move on. So well done to him today. Nicolò Barella, one of those nervous games, because he's coming into it absolutely needing to make sure that he doesn't get a card. That's a player that we desperately don't want to lose. I think, you know, if Dumfries ended up getting carded, you could survive a game with a Champions League game with Darmiana at right wing back. I feel less so confident if Barella is out of the side. But today, very close in the first half to getting carded. You know, a stupid challenge that he shouldn't have done, but he was on fire in the first half. Smart as hell to lay the ball off for Lautaro for the second goal instead of trying to shoot it on net himself. He had a couple volleys that went wayward, but he also had moments in the middle of the park that were absolute quality. There was one moment where the ball was juggling in front of him, and in one seamless move, he takes it off his knee and then volleys it into space. Just really brilliant from him today. 60 minutes, so hopefully he'll be well rested for the derby. Give me your take on Nicolò Stasera.
Man, what a player. I think because we always, like, when we talk about Nicolò Barella, it's always like we know how high his ceiling is. So if he has any type of drop-off, which really for other midfielders would be a good game in terms of, like, you know, how high Barella's ceiling is. But I just feel so comfortable when he's in the middle of the park, honestly. Like, he is just... he has such a high soccer IQ. He works so hard for the team. He is a box-to-box midfielder. And I'm just happy, like you said, 60 minutes, getting some rest going into the derby. I think he's going to be absolutely fired up for that one. I'm just happy that everything was cool after the Lecce game. And, you know, I was a little bit worried when I did see he was starting. But... yeah, you just can't say enough about him. Overall, good performance from Nico.
Yeah, and excited to we've been talking about him getting some rest. Excited for him to put the effort in against Milan in the derby on Sunday, and then hopefully be able to get some rest, and Fratesi can get some minutes in his legs. Henrik Mkhitaryan, the other midfielder today, puts in a 90-minute shift. I thought he did a lot of good today. I think most of the time on the pitch, he's like, he plays that role of unsung hero and does a lot of the work that, the rest of the midfield doesn't quite do, a lot of the dirty work. And it was just another really, really solid performance from him, a player who I think, you know, there's been a lot of talk of Zielu versus Mkhitaryan for that left center mezzala position. And Zielinski hasn't exactly been super convincing this season, although I did think that he had the best game of his Inter career last time out against Lecce. But Mkhitaryan is keeping him on the bench and keeping his spot in the starting lineup for a reason. Today, I thought he was perfect in the transitions. A really good performance from the Armenian tonight.
Yeah, I mean, he's another player I know where, you know, feel like he's always being criticized. Look, Zielinski is better technically. We know that, especially going forward. But that does not mean that he's the better fit for the midfield. I think with Mkhitaryan, and it's crazy to even think, he's what, 30, just turned 36? This guy's still putting in these 90-minute shifts. Like, it doesn't seem like he's ever not going to be fit. And yeah. I think that's just something very important for Inzaghi. And I think he knows what he gets with. He's been under Inzaghi now. This is the third season. So he knows who he's going to get from Mkhitaryan. And I know that Zielinski's a better technical player, but that does not mean that it fits better for our style of play. I think Zielinski's fantastic, and you know, hopefully, you know, he can. I know he just had a good performance against Lecce, but we'll see how the lineup shapes up, if he's going to be in the starting lineup or, you know, come off the bench versus Milan on Sunday.
A player who maybe had the shakiest performance out of any of the Interisti today, Jan Sommer in net. In the first half, had a pretty bad giveaway. Second half, took a bad spill that looked like he injured himself. Hopefully he's all good there, but not as confident on the ball today from Jan Sommer. Obviously didn't have much to do from a saves perspective. I think he had to make one save today. No saves inside the box. Yeah, I don't even know if he had to make a save today. But obviously he looked a little bit shaky with the feet there. But I don't think there's really much more to say about him outside of that. Stefan De Vrij, super elite center back. Like it is a fact. Last season was, you know, he didn't show his best. This season, he's arguably looked better than he ever has in his career. He's doing something extraordinary back there with Acerbi's injury. All of these minutes that he's been soaking up, he's the perfect metronome for this team, at least, you know, as far as the defensive distribution is concerned. He'll occasionally ping a ball to the forwards, but he just recycles that thing, keeps it moving, wins his duels. He's just a perfect player. Like this is the best I've ever felt about De Vrij in Inter colors. How do you think the Dutchman did today, and what kind of season is he having overall?
He's definitely having a season when he was, MVP as a defender of the Serie A. It's very much like that season. I don't know what happened to this guy. You know, he's a year older than last season, and, you know, he's rejuvenated. And maybe part of that's just because, you know, a lot of rotations last season between him and Acerbi. But I think he's going to, you know, when he's consistently starting, I think this is what he can offer us. And like you said earlier, even with Acerbi coming back, I think we gotta stick with De Vrij. I mean, there's no question about it. We have to. He's just been fantastic. He's absolutely earned it. You know, I know hopefully Acerbi can come back and give us some good minutes off the bench, but De Vrij 100% earned it, and he's just been solid at the back there. His partnership with you know, whether it's Bisic and Pavard and Bastoni, sometimes Carlos Augusto. Yeah, he's just solid at the back there. Can't say enough about him either.
Yeah. And then as far as the subs that came on today, I feel like the only one to really talk about, obviously Arnautovic missed chances today. I think the only question I have regarding Arnautovic for you is, if it comes down to it for the registration and, you know, Zalewski comes in and he takes Tejan's spot and you've got to register four strikers, is there a world for you where, A, do you think that Inzaghi would make a switch and not register Arnautovic for the playoffs here and bring in Correa? And what would you do personally?
Well, Arnautovic is not making a case to stay on this team sheet for the Champions League with these, you know, these misses in front of goal. It's so hard to even go back to Correa, though, because it felt like so long ago he had that good performance when he started. I believe it was up top with Lautaro in the Serie A. But since then,
with Thuram.
Or was it with Thuram?
The yeah, Verona performance, yeah.
Was it? Yeah. So I just. I don't know how we go back to Correa now. It's been so long. I mean, he's definitely got more pace up top. It's so hard to say with these backups, because it's such a drop off from Thuram and Lautaro. Like it's such a drop off. It's insane. And even Taremi, I know he got that goal against Sparta, the penalty. Lecce. But yeah, I just don't, I would probably just stay with Arnautović because he's kind of been the one coming off the bench. And, you know, I don't know how you can go back to Correa now. What's your thoughts?
I honestly think that Correa, his play style, it's, I think Arnautović is too similar to what you can get from the other three, whereas Correa is like a really different kind of striker, where for me, I would want the versatility of being able to throw out just a different look, someone who really, you know, can drop deep and progress the ball in a different sort of way. I'm not Correa's biggest fan. I actually, you know, probably believe in Arnautović more than most. But I might make the switch personally just to be able to throw a different look. But why I don't think it's going to happen and why maybe it shouldn't happen is because although Arnautović has dealt with his own injury issues, Correa is like, number one, you can't trust him as far as the injuries are concerned. You haven't been able to do it his entire Inter career. You weren't able to do it, you know, when he was at Marseille. He's very injury prone. And I don't think you can take that sort of risk. Even if Marco has dealt with his own injuries, I think you can percentage-wise probably say he's a little bit less injury prone than Correa. So I don't, while I was super confident earlier in the year that I would make the switch to Correa, I don't quite feel that way. We have a little bit of time before we have to make that registration, so maybe one of them can grab that fourth striker spot for real for the UCL, but we'll see how that goes. And then, of course, there's a debut for Giacomo De Pieri, who's been on fire for the Primavera. This is my first time watching him, like, outside of Primavera highlights. The thing you notice, like, whenever you're calling for Primavera players to come into the side and then they step on the pitch with like grown men, you see the difference. Like, De Pieri looks big for the Primavera, and then you see him step on the pitch today and he's like he's like Aslani's size, but as a forward, which is not great, but he's 18 years old. I thought he played with some personality today. Obviously, it wasn't all perfect. Even the first touch that he had, like, was a giveaway. But he played with enough personality where it's like, okay, I don't know that he's going to be an Inter player one day, but maybe he just increased his value by just a little bit for someone to come in and make a bid. And also, the chance that he fashioned for himself was a really good move. I think he's pretty shifty. You saw what he was doing with the finish that he put on. He was trying to put it to the keeper's near top corner, which was the right decision in that instance. That was where the hole was, honestly, if you look at the goalkeeper's position. So I don't know. I'm happy for the kid. Obviously, Lautaro giving him, you know, the little encouragement before he stepped on the pitch, and then the boys being, you know, super happy for him. It was encouraging to see.
Yeah, I'll be honest. I don't know much about the Primavera players. I saw him come on. I had no idea who he was, but I'll be honest. If I was that age, how old is he? Do you know?
18.
18. Coming on to play for Inter at the San Siro in the Champions League. I know the game was obviously already over, but yeah, his stock got to rise a little bit because, you know, coming on a game like that. But yeah, it was pretty cool to see from not only Lautaro, Barella too. I don't know if you caught that on the bench. He was kind of signaling to him, and I don't know what he said to him, but they were having kind of a smile. And you were saying how he looked so small. I mean, it looked like he had a double X jersey on when he came on. So, I mean, he was swimming in that thing. But no, that's awesome to see a Primavera player come out there. I'd like to see that more, honestly, when we have these kind of leads, just to see what we have, you know?
It's not something anyone should get their hopes up when it comes to Simone Inzaghi, but played the guys today, which is awesome. So, amazing performance. Obviously, we've run through the players here, and really happy with what they put forward. So, who is Inter going to play next? All right, the official numbers are in, by the way, for this victory. Match win bonus was 2.1 million. Top eight finish bonus was 2 million. 11 million for direct qualification to the round of 16. So Super important to get that. And then the league position bonus. So fourth place netted us $9.1 million for a total of $24.2 million. That is how valuable this victory was. That is enough money to get yourself an actual quality player. So really happy that those numbers got released. And let's see also who we're lined up to play here in the next round. So
playoffs is what, 9 through 24?
Yeah, but they actually have it lined up. Hold on, give me 1 second here. I'll pull it up in a second. I believe it's PSV, Feyenoord, Juve, and Milan, who we could actually pull in. So, you know, there are some teams that you feel good about playing in that side of the bracket. There's obviously some teams that are going to be, it's going to be a very interesting matchup, especially if we get one of the Italian teams. But you're feeling good about the squad regardless. You also feel good about your duo, Lautaro and Thuram. 15 goal, they're 18 goal contributions each, 15 goals from Lautaro, and 3 assists, 14 goals from Thuram, and 4 assists. So you love the fact that those two are just firing on all cylinders, and just a really, really confidence boosting win heading into the derby this weekend. All right, let's get into your questions. First up is FC Andre 1908. He asks, Inter with a big upturn in both performances and results in the past couple weeks, are we starting to see the benefits of Simone Inzaghi's early season rotations? What do you think, Nico? Is this turn into form here directly down to the players not being completely exhausted because Inzaghi's been able to rotate them effectively?
Yeah, I think, like I said earlier, when you're playing every 3 days, you know, you got all these competitions you're playing in. You got to find a way to have some balance in the team. So I think he's able to really key in on the substitutions he's making. I think it's paying off right now. I mean, honestly, most of the Champions League, we've made a lot of rotations as far as a starting lineup, and it's paid off. And credit to Inzaghi. I mean, you know, because when you first see that lineup out there for the first Champions League game or in the early stages, you're not really sure what to kind of make of the rotations, and it's certainly worked out for us. Yeah, and we're just in fantastic form at the moment, so I continue to see these rotations coming through for us.
At Mr. Mike Gurrieri, a perfect night, would love to get your lineup predictions ahead of the derby. I'm going to go with our traditional best 11. I'll say it's Sommer, back three of, actually since Pavard put in a shift today, I'll go Bissek, De Vrij, and Bastoni. Ahead of them at Regista, I'll go Zielinski, Varela and Mickey in the midfield, DiMarco Dumfries on the flank, and Lautaro Thuram up top. What do you think?
The only thing is, yeah, we'll see what happens with Bissek if he starts over Pavard. And you said in the middle, who? Zielinski?
Zielinski, Mkhitaryan, and Barella, yeah.
Yeah, I just don't think Inzaghi's going to trust Aslani in the Regista role. So is Zielinski going to play the Regista then?
I would want him to put in a shift at Regista given what he played, how he played against Lecce, but I could also see Barella being put back there, but I think he'll go with Zielinski. I don't want it to be Aslani. Maybe that should be the point.
Yeah, exactly. No, but I think you're spot on with that lineup.
Yeah. Sean at Nerazzurri Pirlo, is this our best performance this year? How good do you think we could be if we add Hakan to this performance? I mean, this team is at its best when Hakan is in the lineup. So obviously, I think it would have an improvement. As far as our best performance this year, if you look back at the other performances and you really... You know, Monaco was playing with 10 men, right? If you look back at some of the other performances, I think you can probably find a better one. For me, the reason why I would even put it remotely at the top is because of the stakes involved, like I mentioned earlier in the podcast. You're heading into the derby. you know, this is qualification directly to the round of 16. So for me, it's definitely up there. Not sure it's the best one. I mean, obviously for selfish reasons, although there's been an argument that it was more of an individual performance than a team performance, the 6-0 against Lazio. Obviously, I had a lot of fun watching that match. What do you think?
Yeah, Lazio got to be, the best game, 6-0. But yeah, it sucks that this one had to, you know, especially early in the first half, they had to go down a man, Monaco. So yeah, we're playing against 10 men. It's obviously a lot easier. The game was, you know, pretty much done and dusted at that point. But you could tell, even if Monaco had 11 out there, I mean, the guys came to play today. There's no question about it. They knew what the objective was, and all they were thinking about is making sure that they got through to the next round. And they were certainly not playing for a draw today. That's for sure.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree. At Lord Pape, any score predictions for the next 3 big games? I don't do score predictions because I'm too scared and too superstitious. But if you look at these 3, it's Milan-Inter, Inter-Fiorentina, and Juventus-Inter at the Allianz Stadium. You're playing at, is it the Allianz Stadium? It might be called the J Arena now. You're playing at home for 2 of those games, even though one of them counts away because it's Milan. I would say you need to pick up at minimum 7 points. You can't lose any of these games. You got to pick up at minimum 7 points. Obviously, Napoli has a couple tough fixtures that they're heading into, but 2 wins and a draw, I don't think kills you. Obviously, 3 wins is the best, but you definitely don't want to have a loss in any of these fixtures. Napoli's playing Roma, Udinese, and Lazio, so they could potentially drop points, but they've shown that it's not really in the cards for them this year. What are your thoughts?
I just looked at February. We have 4 league games, so a total of 12 points. Yeah, I'm not much of a predictor either with a score line, but I think if we can get 10, if like I say a minimum of 9 or 10, I don't think it's all doom and gloom. Obviously, I want to get all 12. But listen, you got to take it one game at a time. It starts with Milan Sunday. We need to bounce back. Plus, we got the Coppa Italia quarterfinals. If anyone cares about that, that's the last game in February. But knowing Inzaghi, when it comes to knockout competition, he's going to go as far as he can take this team.
Yeah. All right. We've got one speak pipe here. Just give me a nod if you can hear it okay.
Hey guys, just want to get a sense of your level of frustration with the lack of rotation in starting 11s. I mean, you know, we're going to be playing every 3 games, and you know, Inzaghi's stubbornness and playing the same guys over and over and over again is just it's boggling my mind now at this point. You know, granted, hey, I'm happy we got the 3 points, very well deserved. This was probably one of the best games I've ever seen us play this season. But you know, I really want to see other guys get a chance in the squad and you know, show.
I don't know if that's a joke because we've done so much rotation. That was from very pissed off Inter fan, a good listener of the show. I think we've done so much rotation, you know, up until this point where like you rarely ever see the same starting 11 game after game. And now that we're heading into, you know, this is February and March are going to make, or it's going to decide what this season ends up being for us. Like, we're really heading into the exciting months for Inter now. So, you know, I think Inzaghi's been rotating well all season. But as the games get significantly more important and the stakes get higher, you can't blame him for leaning on his guys. And honestly, those guys have earned it, right? I think some of the rotated guys have been immense, like Bissek, Augusto, obviously De Vrij, you know, he's a starter, but you know, it's one of the names that's been rotated in. I think those guys have been so, so good. I obviously want more minutes for them. Fratesi, you know, I'd love to see more of Fratesi because he contributes when he's on the pitch. So yeah, I hope we do find those opportunities, but like I said, as the year goes on, the stakes are going to get higher and you're going to see Inzaghi lean on his guys a little bit. The first half of the year was for that rotation. Now it's go time. This is going to make or break. What are your thoughts?
Listen, I said this a little bit ago. The objective was to get into the round of 16, not play additional fixtures. So I agree with you. We've been making rotations all season, and Inzaghi's done a great job. Yes, there's some players that we might like to see some more minutes. For me personally, Fratesi as well. I think he does offer more than just goal scoring. But I just think it came down to this game is just so important. Everything that was at stake. This now gives us some time. Barella, Thuram, Lautaro, they didn't play a full 90, right? I mean, so it's not like we had everyone playing a full 90. They get the rest up a little bit. If this was match day one, okay. You know, you see some rotations, but you got to come away with a result in this game, and Inzaghi knew it. So credit to him. And listen, this is the way it is for Inter. When you're a big club, you're going to have to play every 3 days, maybe every 4 days, whatever it is. You're playing in multiple competitions. I know the players are getting run down, but I think I don't see this, you know, having all of our starters, having a strong lineup out there today is going to impact anything going forward. The players will get a little bit of rest and get right back at it Sunday.
Oh, Nico, congrats on your first hour of the Interviews podcast. Really appreciate you coming on. A hell of a game to talk about, a hell of individual performances to get into, honestly. And thank you so much for jumping on. Tell the folks and wearing your Interviews podcast jersey.
Yeah, that's, of course.
That's appreciated. Tell the people where they can find you.
Well, you can find me on Twitter at ChadHennessy9. Or you could just search, you know, Nico Bocuzzi. We might have to do the spelling in here if we could post it in here. I'm not sure if anyone knows how to spell that. And then, you know, like you had mentioned earlier, I jumped on board with the TikToks doing the quick pre-matches for the games. So we have the Interviews pod, which we'll have to talk about trying to get that out to more people because I know not everyone has TikTok. So, you can find me on Twitter. I do my little post-match reactions. You know, I'm just having fun with it. I'm a very positive Interisti, no pessimism over here. So you're going to find nothing but good spirits. So if anyone in the fan base tries to bring me down or wants to criticize any players, go at it. I'm not going to reply. I don't get into the Twitter wars.
Nico, a couple more appearances on the Interviews podcast, and they may get you cynical here, but really appreciate everything you do for the TikTok. You're the man. Thank you so much. And in the words of the great Roberto Scarpini, Forza ragazzi, forza ragazzi, forza ragazzi.